Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hi, guys. It's the TNL postgame show. It's Egg Bowl edition, and it's not going to be a pleasant one. Mississippi State falls to Ole Miss 31-21. I'm just now seeing these stats from being out in the stadium tonight. And it's as I suspected, State did outgain Ole Miss. Obviously, penalties were huge for both teams. 11 penalties for the Rebels, 8 for State. I felt like States were very timely, and timely in the wrong kind of way. They just every time that they had some first downs come back. And then the drop passes, we could do a whole show about that. State hasn't dropped passes all season long, and they dropped 3 sure touchdown passes there at the end of the second quarter. I mean, State was in position to go take – I mean, they were in the red zone the first 4 drives of the game and only got 6 points out of it. Obviously, field goals sort of reared their ugly head again. You know, you think about that final drive for State where they're just – you know, they're going to score, but it doesn't mean anything. But if that's a you know, State makes their field goals, that drive is to tie the game. So, congrats to Matt Corral. He will win the 2021 Connerly Trophy Award. Rebels, you know, State did a good job. They limited the Ole Miss running game, 159 yards on 45 carries. That's about what we talked about all week. Corral only threw for 229 yards. But the biggest difference in the game for me was what we talked about all week on Sports Talk Mississippi and on Thunder and Lightning was State was unable to protect Will Rogers. They could not stop that rush from the right side. We'll talk a lot about that on the next Thunder and Lightning, which Robbie will be here, I imagine, in the next 40 to 50 minutes. And we'll have that show up for you guys in the morning. So just a tough, tough day for Mississippi State. Now Mike Leach is 0-2 in Egg Bowls. He goes to Oxford next year. I've said it before, and I'm not saying that State's gonna, you know, if State has a winning season next year, they're going to let Mike Leach go. But 0-3 in Egg Bowls is something that's just not going to fly at Mississippi State. It's just not. It's different than the Pac-12 where you can just lose to your rival, and it's not that big a deal here at Mississippi State. And that's true at Ole Miss, and it's true at Auburn. It's true at Alabama. It's true at Georgia and Florida, and that's just the way that it is. So, all right. We'll jump into you guys talking. We've got Tyler Heidrick up. I'm sorry, we'll go ahead and let Rob talk because, we had him going. Rob, if you want to unmute, you're good to go.
Did you say we outgained them? Because if I've learned anything from Florida football this year, that can count as a win.
Yeah.
I don't really want to talk about that game because it sucked. So I just I want to draw attention to the stadium DJ first of all. For playing It's Been Such a Long Time by Boston during the final Ole Miss timeout. I thought that was masterful work.
I didn't catch that, but that is good. Well, Rob, I think you're cutting out on me here, man.
And then I think the Ole Miss training staff should...
Well, Rob...
All right. Come back to me.
Rob, you're just cutting out, but I think I know where you were going with that. So, thanks, man. I appreciate you calling in. There's going to be a rule next year. I can already, you know, there's the Houston Nutt rule. There's going to be the DJ Durkin rule. There's going to be a rule change that if you come out with any due to injury, they're going to keep you out for a minimum number of plays or perhaps until a change of possession because it's just too much, man. It's just too much. I mean, it's just too obvious at this point. So they're going to have to do something there for that, for sure. All right, let's see who is up next in the queue. Tyler Heidrick wants to talk. Tyler, you're up, man.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, man.
The first thing I want to say is, you know, these SEC officials, they're a dime a dozen, but that doesn't have anything to do with the outcome of this game.
Right.
We played like crap. And to keep the expletive short, the coaches really, really let this one down. I mean, I felt like we were severely underprepared. This might be, outside of maybe the Alabama game, Zach Arnett's worst performance in my mind because we could not cover anybody on a third down play. And it was unbelievable how wide open some of these guys were, regardless of the non-calls on holding. And to say that I'm disappointed is an understatement. We severely underperformed.
What I'll say to you, and thanks for the call, Tyler. I appreciate it. Is You know, first off, you know, we're talking about Arnett. Obviously, yeah, the third downs was big. 11 of 18 were the Rebels tonight. That's too much. You can't give up that many. But what I would say is State gave up – this is the number one offense in the SEC. State only gave up 388 yards and 31 points. What? And two of those came on short fields when they did onside kicks. It's tough to put the blame on the defense when you only scored 6 points in the first 3.5 quarters of the game. That's what I would say to that. So I get the frustration with the defense. Got to remember, this is one of the best offenses in the country. Matt Corral is going to be a first-round pick. Ely and Connor and Parrish are good players. Dontario Drummond and Mingo and Sanders are pretty good players. I thought State defensively did enough to win. I had Ole Miss scoring 28 in my projection, so we're only talking about 3 more points. If you're going to put blame, for me anyway, I put it on the offense tonight. All right, Scott Ming is up, then Josh Watson, and then my cousin Stephen Agustinelli.
Hey, Brian, what's going on, man?
What's up, Scott?
I got 2 questions for you.
Sure.
First one is, when can we get the SEC to actually do something about these fake penalties or these fake injuries?
Like I said, it's going to be something I would imagine this offseason that it will be addressed, because everybody is going to point it out. Every other team in the West is going to say something. Alabama is going to say something. Arkansas, there's going to be too much pressure. And like I said, I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how, you know, if you say it's, you know, is it a minimum of 3? I think about it like this, from a player safety standpoint. You can't analyze an injury in the time it takes to run one play. If a player has to come off the field, there's no way a doctor can look at him or a trainer can look at them and go, in 30 seconds, yeah, he's good, get him back in. There's got to be a time limit on that. There's got to be something. So, and look, sour grapes, if you're an Ole Miss fan and you're listening, it's not even that. You guys even know that this is not right. It's not. This is not how it's supposed to be done. And something's got to be done to fix it. And it will be. I have no doubt there will be a rule to fix it. What's your other question now, Scott?
It was more of, do you think the weather pushing back more with the rain had more of an effect than what we thought it would?
I mean, it's possible, but, I mean, both teams were playing in the rain, and Ole Miss threw the ball, too. I don't want to put too much of it on the weather. I mean, when the ball hits you in the hands, especially the Tula Griffin one, where I was sitting in the stands is right in that corner. I still can see that. And like, I don't know how he dropped it. It hit him right in the hands. He brought it into his chest and then couldn't hold on to it. It was really something. So I don't think the rain played a huge factor. Now,
and that was a third question kind of thing of, were the receivers used to catching the ball kind of wet, so, you know, stuff like that? Because there was a lot of drop passes tonight.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case or not. I haven't seen Rodgers or anybody say anything about it in postgame. I'm sure they wouldn't make any excuses. But, I mean, when the ball hits you in the hands, wet or not, you got to catch it. You got to catch it. So,
we'll see. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
Hey, Brian.
All right, who we got next? We got something in the chat, Alex.
Well, Luke Ron Walt says, "What was this, a bump in the road, or is State reverting to its old ways of inconsistent offense and conceding big plays of defense?" He also says he wants to know how insufferable Richard Cross will be on Monday.
He won't be any more insufferable than he is every other day of the week. I don't think State – I mean, the big plays have been happening. I mean, Auburn had big plays a couple weeks ago. Arkansas had big plays. The State's defense with Zach Arnett is going to concede some big plays. What they need to do is improve their talent a little bit, you know, especially on the defensive line. This is the first year in some time where you didn't have like a real go-to guy on the defensive line. I think getting Jordan Davis back next year will help that. And then some of these freshmen are going to have to – a guy like, if they sign Trevion Williams, he's probably going to have to play as a freshman. Pickering needs to take a step forward. We've been waiting on him for a few years now, and then we'll see what happens with Crumity. But there's not a Jeff Simmons or a Montez Sweat that's helping you get pressure. And State so many times this year has blitzed and not been able to get, get home with those blitzes, and that's what's cost them. But that's, again, you know, defensively, I feel like State did enough tonight to win the game. I put this completely on the offense. All right, who's up next? It's going to be Josh Watson.
Oh, man. All right. First of all,
yes,
you're a hottie-totty.
Please don't say that word. Thank you.
Man, it's just like the RT when I say, you know, the RT from Alabama. It kind of makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to endure that from my dad tonight because my dad's an Ole Miss fan, so I just share my misery a little bit. Let me first congratulate Ole Miss to joining the 10-win club and being the second team in the state of Mississippi to do so. So congratulations to them for that.
Well, third, I think. I'm pretty sure Southern's won 10 games in a year.
Hey, there we go. So they're getting in there.
Yeah.
Second of all, man, I take solace in two things from this game. One, Scott Lashley will probably not be here next year to absolutely
no.
The right side of the offensive line. And we may actually have a kicker next year, either from tryouts or from walk-ons or, God, something. Those two things kind of give me a little bit of solace. But from the actual game tonight, I think specifically the drive at the end of the first half, if you get points there on those three drop passes,
mm-hmm.
It's a completely different game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you go into the half up 13-10 and then you get the ball. Yeah, it's total. I agree. I feel like you would have momentum at that point. But, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda on that one for sure. I couldn't believe three in a row like that. I mean, that's something out of a movie. You don't see that very often. Oh well. All right, thanks, Josh. Appreciate it. Let's go to my cousin Stephen Agostinelli. Daniel Black, you'll be up next. Stephen, you there?
I'm here. What's up?
What's up, Ed?
What do you think from a momentum standpoint for the program, what that loss does? I just kind of felt like, you know, we got the big recruit today, that wide receiver out of Louisiana.
Yeah.
I thought if we would have won this game, that's just such a huge step forward for where I think Leach could have gone. And this is just demoralizing from that fact for the program. I know I'm in the moment right now.
Yeah.
Right now, it's just like, it kills me that
We got signing day in a couple weeks. If the guys that they think are going to come in, it's going to be a good class. Then you'll have a bowl game. If you win the bowl game and finish 8-5, some of the sting of it goes away. And then, you know, we go into the spring and, you know, spring, hope springs eternal. Plus we'll have baseball to make us all happy. Next year, when you look at what you bring back, I think you're going to be okay. I think you're going
to is the bowl game to you the biggest game now? Obviously. I mean, lose that game, 7-6, 8-5 is such a big difference.
There's a huge difference between 8-5 and 7-6. Yeah, State needs to win the bowl game. If you would go 8-5, you're going to feel fine about who you are and where you are going forward, I think. Stephen, I think you agree with this. What happened this year for Ole Miss was what should have happened to State in 2018. We are still feeling the after effects of that game, of that season, the 2018 season. If State had done what it was supposed to do in 2018, because you and I talk about this a lot, right? The cycle that in 5 years, you should have 3 years where you're, you know, good. You're 7 to 8 wins. You have 1 year maybe where you step back. You're 6, could be 5 if things go against you. But you have that 1 year where you get 10 wins and you feel good about yourself. State missed that year in the cycle. Looking ahead, that year for Mississippi State now is 2023. I'm not sure who the East team is, but it's not Georgia because that's next year. So that's a year in 2023 with Will Rogers and a lot of guys coming back. You expect to be able to win 9-10. Go ahead.
But the even years are the years where we get A&M, Auburn.
They will be at home.
So like, you know, always the losable games that you're probably going to lose anyway.
But while you say that, at the same time this year, State won at Auburn. They won at A&M, and they probably should have won at Arkansas. So, I mean, I'm going to be okay with that.
I'll go ahead and say.
What Ole Miss did this year was they capitalized. They got their 10-win season. And so it stings for us because it should have happened to State in 2018.
They I mean, Ole Miss killed us. I mean, there's no other way around it. That second half was brutal. I mean,
it was tough.
And the thing that frustrates me is people, and you've said this on this call, mm-hmm. is people saying that the defense kind of lost us the game. If you'd have told me at the end of the third quarter, Ole Miss would have had 17 points, sign me up.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, State is probably winning the game by two touchdowns. At that point.
100%.
All right, thanks, guys.
It is what it is. See you, bud.
Yep. Bye-bye. All right, who we got next here with us? Daniel Black and then Patrick McDill will join us. Daniel, are you there?
Yeah, Brian, can you hear me?
I can.
All right, sweet. So this is sort of piggybacking off of the last point. But I feel like, you know, you mentioned talking about how we go to Oxford next year, and it isn't pretty much not a do-or-die game, but it is massive for just the perception of Leach in terms of just coaching in this rivalry game and rivalry games in general. But I think that next year we should be a lot better. And also I would imagine Ole Miss is going to regress a little bit, if not a lot of it, because I haven't seen their roster up and down, but I imagine that they're going to lose a lot of guys, including Corral. So I'd imagine that they're going to be like a 7-win team or so.
Right.
But, you know, with us, we have so many returning guys that we could be an 8-win team. I mean, with Georgia on the schedule, it doesn't do us any favors, but we could be an 8-win team, maybe a 9-win team. And also, this year, if you think, I mean, even Leach's first 2 years at State, it seems like he's a much better road coach than he is a home coach in terms of big games. I mean, if you think of his biggest wins, you have LSU last year, you have Texas A&M this year, you have Auburn this year. Whereas really the only big win at home Leach has had so far maybe is this year's Kentucky game. So, you know, I feel a bit more – now, obviously, Oxford's never fun to play and it's hard to win there, but I feel just a little bit more optimistic in our chances there next year than I would say some other people are. But maybe that's just –
Yeah. Well, obviously, with Ole Miss looking ahead to next year, it's all about – and thanks for the call there, Daniel. It's all about who they get in the transfer portal. They're not going to go into next season with Luke Altmyer and Kincaid Dent. You know, is Spencer Rattler an option for them? And then obviously, you know, it depends on is Lane Kiffin going to be there? I think right now it feels like he might, but it just depends, right? It depends. I mean, Florida comes after him. That seems like a job he would take. LSU is the same. Miami, I could go either way on that. I understand, you know, he would probably rather live in Miami than Oxford. And that's not – I'm not trying to slight Oxford there. Lane Kiffin is just the kind of guy who would like to live in a big city like that. So we'll just have to see. Ole Miss, though, because just what we were just talking about, the cycle. This was their big year. Next year they should regress back to 7-8 wins. Or it depends on if they don't hit on a quarterback in the transfer portal, it could be, you know, could be the bad year for them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, Patrick McDill, you're up, and then Caleb Rhodes.
Hey, Brian.
What's going on, Patrick?
Oh, not much, man. Just drowning my sorrows.
I got you.
You know, I think, look, it's like we kind of got beat by a better team, and it's a bitter pill to swallow, and I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, but the fact of the matter is, they simply outplayed us, mm-hmm. and they simply have more talent. Now, having said that, as you were saying earlier, it was kind of their year. And I still think overall, depending on the outcome of the bowl game, mm-hmm. overall, I think the program is still headed in the right direction. And if we end up being 8-5, I think we'll be in great shape going into the next year.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, with the Ole Miss, this was just – you're right about them. And thanks for calling in, Patrick. You're completely right about being the better team. Guys, if we take the names away from it and we take our emotions out of it, this is the number 8 team on the road against an unranked team. I mean, the fact that State was favored – It's a little surprising. I thought Ole Miss would be favored. And, you know, they stayed – the money came in on State the whole week, which means the sharps were betting it. The public was betting Ole Miss. And the public was right on this one. So this is one where Vegas takes a hit. And it just is what it is on that, you know. I mean, he's right. Patrick was right. Ole Miss was the better football team tonight. They're the they're probably the better football team this year. They figured out a way offensively to be really, really good, and defensively they have what they do. You know, they get pressure on the quarterback, and when they do that, they're effective. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with that for sure. Let's see here. Robbie Fox says he has to bring his cousin with him to the studio. We'll see how that goes. He said he's leaving now, guys. So we'll go a couple more calls here and see if we can do Caleb Rhodes, and then Scott Ming wants to go one more time, and then we'll just have to wrap it up because Robbie should be here by then. Caleb, you're on.
Hey, Brian, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, so how many Egg Bowls do you think Mike Leach can lose before his job is on the line? And then my second question is, with Ole Miss being 10-2 this year and Lane Kiffin's quote unquote stock being pretty high, do you think this would be the year for him to leave? Because I mean, I think Ole Miss is going to regress, you know, to like y'all said, 6-7 wins. But I was just wondering what you.
The answer to your first question, it sort of, I mean, it just depends, I guess. Like next year, if State is 8-4 and loses to Ole Miss, they're not gonna make a move there. But if and thanks for calling, Caleb. But if State is 5-7 and loses to Ole Miss, which I don't think is gonna happen, I'll say that now. But if they do, then you would probably talk about okay, we you know, how much further down the road are we gonna go? But I would definitely say at 4, if you were to lose 4 Egg Bowls in a row, which you know. When's the last time State lost 4 Egg Bowls in a row? The 80s? I could be wrong about that. They lost, what, 02, 03, 04, but then they won in 05. So, yeah, it's been a long time. So, 4 would seem like the you know, quote-unquote magic up number there. And as far as, like, Kiffin goes, Florida and LSU are high-profile jobs. I don't know if they're going to offer him the job. But if they do, he should take them. Because there's no guarantee that next year a job that good is going to open up, unless Sarkisian completely falls apart at Texas again, unless Lincoln Riley decides to leave Oklahoma, something like that. I don't know. Those are great jobs. But that said, you got to be offered the job first. I mean, do we really think Scott Strickland's going to offer Lane Kiffin a job? I mean, talk about that's just not a personalities that work together. And then with LSU, I mean, I don't know. So. All right, one last one. Scott Ming is going to go, and then we got to go because, like I said, Robbie will be here shortly, and we'll just start working on Thunder and Lightning. Scott, are you there?
I'm here, man.
Go ahead, man.
First thing is tell Robbie once the count is strong.
Gotcha.
Second thing is if Lane does leave or he does stay and Matt Corral leaving, what do you see Ole Miss with their standings next year?
Well, I got to know who that quarterback is, you know? I got to know. I mean, if they get Spencer Rattler, they could be pretty good. But if they don't, if they can't get a top-tier guy, the thing is, though, they should be able to get a good quarterback because if Kiffin's there, people are going to want to play in that offense. So that's pretty obvious. Alex, are there any questions in the chat before we go?
Yeah, one last question from Houston Smith. He says, do you have any concerns about the future of the offensive line play? There's not another Charles Cross coming through that door in all likelihood.
That's a good point, Houston. But that said, in the portal, there should be a serviceable left tackle there. You know, right tackle, I don't see how you can – I don't think it can be a whole lot worse than it was this year. Lashley just did not get the job done. But at left tackle, you know – this is college football, guys. I mean, players leave. There's just no way. There's just no getting around that. So, you know, you have to go out into the portal and find a guy. You know, that's going to be the top priority for this offseason is to find a plug and play left tackle. I know the Lewis kid from MJ or MGCC, looks like he's headed to Mississippi State, but you know, you think about guys like Martinez Rankin who, you know, ended up being an NFL guy and a first team all SEC guy. But he wasn't ready to go his first year. So I don't know if Percy Lewis can be that guy as well. So I would definitely think that the portal is going to be the top concern there. All right, guys. That's going to be that. We'll bring post-game back when SEC basketball play starts. And we'll do one after the bowl game. obviously as well. I'm gonna start writing up some things that are true, so we can have a podcast and get going. Alex, thanks for joining me tonight and helping me out here in the chat.
No problem.
All right. Talk to you guys later. I hope you had, except for the game, happy Thanksgiving, and I'll be back with you, obviously, Sports Talk Mississippi tomorrow, 3 o'clock p.m. See you guys then.
Mississippi Media Production.